You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Hello and welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community, culture, and everything in between. This week, we're going to discuss Microsoft acquiring Bethesda and its studios, Sony's PS5 conference and new PS5 information, and Amazon's new game streaming service that no one asked for. This is episode number 22, and we are recording for the week of September 28th, 2020. I am Jarrett, but you can call me Ja, and I'm also here with the games industry public defender and the scourge of Ironforge, Nick Zelenkevich.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
And also here with host of Dropping Spicy and associate producer on the Mash Those Buttons show, Kurabara.
How's it going? Ja hasn't fired me yet. This is very surprising.
Yeah, we're not paying anybody. He takes the tension off. Takes the tension off. So what's going on, Nick? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I came in very, very close to winning a Fall Guys match the other day. Didn't quite pull it off. So, still working towards that. And, other than that, there's a patch coming in. WoW. I'm looking forward to that. So things are going okay. Gaming wise.
That was the highlight of your week. Almost winning a Fall Guys match.
You know, I have two small children, and I never get to leave the house. So, yes, that was the highlight of my week.
You know what? You have that, Nick. You have that. Cora, how you doing, man?
Not bad. Pretty good. I am not sick this week, so it's a vast improvement over last week. Got to play with a bunch of the community members at some Among Us this weekend. Eject Kinder at almost every game in the first round just because we thought he was suspicious.
Well, of course. Of course he is. He's always suspicious.
I have a question. I have a question about Among Us because I've been thinking about getting this. You can play that. It's like cross-platform. So if you're playing on your phone, you can play with people on their computer. Is that correct?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, some of the community members play on their phones and use Discord app on the phone to play. But you can do that.
Okay, so the one question I have then is there any kind of talking in the game, or you're communicating in the game, or you have to have like another like chat or video open aside from the game when you're communicating with the rest of the people? Like, does it kind of assume that you're all communicating outside of the game, or you can communicate all within the game?
It's basically built basically to be communication, either using like the Discord app to like we usually do to communicate, or they have an in-game chat where you can type and then you try to discuss with typing a lot of times. It's why they said they're not sure about having a console port yet, because they haven't figured a better way for everybody to talk in that doesn't require them to get into just the chat, because you can't type easily, because there are people who don't want to talk. And if they right. can't type, it has a little bit of toxicity is what they were saying. So,
okay, that makes sense. Okay, cool. No, I'm thinking about getting that and playing with some friends, but I'm like, do we need to have like a separate camera call open while we're doing that, or? No, I'm definitely going to check that out. Thank you for answering those questions.
Yeah, it's better to have a call open, because then you can all the yelling and screaming is so funny. Like, it's just all the accusations and like, your voice just changed. I think you did it. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't do it. Oh, I'm dead.
Huh. Yeah, I was thinking about getting it, but I don't know. I have so many other games that I'm playing right now. Like, my week has been pretty active. To say the least. Actually, one thing I did want to apologize for not putting an episode out last week. Cora wasn't the only one that wasn't feeling well. I also was sick. And we weren't able to put an episode out. That's one of the reasons why we're going to cover the PS5 conference this week. I figured it was at least worth talking about. But I did get a chance to play some games. I finally finished the Control DLC, which nice. I was very happy with. I did like it a lot. And now I the only control I have to play is to finish up the rest of my little missions. Like, that's it. And then I'll be pretty much completely done with it and just kind of waiting, I guess, at that point. But, I mean, they do totally hint at the end of that game that Alan Wake will be at least be there will be more Alan Wake in the future, because I know that Remedy owns Alan Wake now, you know, so that's one property. They got that property back from Microsoft. I wonder how that worked, because I know Microsoft owned Alan Wake and Quantum Break, but I don't even know if Remedy wants Quantum Break.
I have a question about that, because I started Control a couple weeks ago before I got sick, and I actually stumbled into the Alan Wake DLC. Should I continue that, or should I finish the game first?
Finish the game first, for sure. Finish the game first. I don't even know if you're going to be properly leveled to do the Alan Wake DLC.
I don't know. The first area is super hard.
It's just going to be like really difficult without having your abilities like leveled and stuff like that. You know, because even having my abilities leveled, the last boss fight was actually kind of challenging. And I don't want to give it away or give the strategy away to anybody, because there's a strategy to the final boss fight. Hey, did you play Alan Wake?
No, I haven't. I have it downloaded on my Xbox. It's now on Game Pass. So I was going to actually start playing that. So I have an idea of, like, I hear good stuff about Alan Wake, but it just passed me by when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would play Alan Wake and even American Nightmare before you play the Control DLC. Like, some people are like, oh, you don't really need to play it. Yes, you fucking do. I hate when people tell me that shit. Yes, you do. Somebody told me, oh, you don't need to play the old God of War to play the new one, which is actually sort of true, but you will not enjoy the game nearly as much if you didn't play the old God of War and understand what happened to Kratos and what he did and the outcome and stuff like that.
And we'll be able to play them if you don't do it too, because God, those games are not easy to go back to.
They are tough. They are tough to go back to. I know, because I went back to those games in 2018. and played through them, and that's when my PS3 finally died, man. I had my PS3 sitting right next to my PS4 for years, and when I popped God of War 3 and I was like, I can't do it no more.
My PS3 controllers died. My PS3 works. I just can't do anything unless I buy a new controller, and I'm like, I'm not gonna
worry about God of War 3 playing God of War 3 on the PS3 made my PS4 overheat in 10 minutes, like, no matter what I did. So that was it. It lived a good life. Did job. Somebody else, another thing, like Final Fantasy 15, somebody told me, oh, well, you don't have to watch Kingsglaive in order to play that game, because they go over what happens, you know, close to the beginning of the game. And
not really.
I'm really glad I'm really glad I watched Kingsglaive, because the part that this person was talking about, all it was clips from Kingsglaive with no dialogue.
No context.
They assume no context. They assume that you had watched Kingsglaive. They assume that, and that's what they did. And I'm like, I'm so glad I watched that fucking movie. You know? So here's Ja telling you, before you play the Alan Wake DLC, play Alan Wake, play American Nightmare, so you can understand that world. Because when you get into the Control DLC, the things they tell you, or the things that you hear Alan Wake say, because you get story pages that he wrote, puts a whole different swing on the world. And actually, like, they don't say it directly, but you learn about how much power Alan Wake actually has over reality. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, so I would definitely play those games.
Like, I know the starting is like, here's Alan Wake. I'm like, who are you? What does this have to do? I'm going to back out of here to, like,
back to this later. That whole first part made zero sense to you, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I was completely, like, lost.
It would. Like, that whole first part makes zero sense to you because you have no idea what happened to him in the first game. So, yeah, I would definitely play that. So, I finally finished that, and I was happy about it. Another major success. Horizon Zero Dawn, the PC port, has had a lot of, you know, issues since launch. But most of those issues are on 10 series GPUs. I have a 20 series NVIDIA card. I have a 2080. And I was getting some issues with, like, stuttering and stuff like that, especially when I got into Meridian. And it wasn't constant, but when it happened, it was annoying. you know, you have a $1,300 graphics card or $1,400 graphics card, you don't want any stuttering in the game. So it's not the game not being optimized. Actually, it turned out it wasn't the graphics card at all. Turns out it was the hard drive. I didn't realize I installed Horizon Zero Dawn on my regular hard drive, not my SSD. I transferred it from the regular hard drive to the SSD. Fixed those issues. I have zero issues with Horizon Zero Dawn now.
Was this the read and write was just too slow for it to keep up and everything?
I think it was the loading. It was trying to load assets and it was just too slow. So there you go. All my issues. So if you're playing Horizon Zero Dawn, you might want to check that out. I started playing Avengers. It's good, but it'll just be more fun with friends. It's one of those games. It's like right now, I'm enjoying it to a degree, but I'll play like a mission or two and I'll put it down. But if I had somebody to play with, it would be more fun, you know. So
I just got extra money, but so I can afford to get it. If you want someone to play it with,
oh yeah, we can definitely do it. The thing I don't understand about that campaign, though, some of the missions. First of all, when you start the campaign, it says at the bottom that the campaign is meant for single player. But while you're in the campaign, you can group up with people for some missions. Some missions you cannot. Some missions you hit the button, it takes you straight to where you need to go. But they don't really note which ones those are. You know? So that's the tough one.
I don't like that because if you have co-op, just let me co-op with all the parts. Don't separate it.
Right. They don't even say at this now you can invite people to your games. But like sometimes you have the matchmaking option, sometimes you don't. So that was cool. I mentioned Final Fantasy 15. I had stopped playing it because it was crashing on me, but I started playing it again and I did figure out what the issues were. Like there's a feature called like NVIDIA Turf. And if you have that turned on, there's a memory leak. And I turned that off and now it's working again. So like I said, I've been busy. I even played this game called BPM, which is did you guys hear about BPM? It's a first-person shooter that you have to play to the beat of music. Huh. So you can only fire bullets at the beat or the half beat. You can only reload at the beat or the half beat.
Actually, I have heard of this. I haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
It's fun. So I would definitely check it out. But yeah, we spent longer than I thought on that part. But I've been playing so much shit. I had to talk about it. It's been 2 weeks. I'm sorry. So it's all good. But let's... you know, I want to go ahead and get into our main topics here. But before we do that, I just want to welcome any first-time listeners. Thank you guys very much for taking the time to listen. And I'd like to welcome back any returning listeners and give a very special thanks to our supporters on Patreon. Also, a very special thanks to our supporters on Twitch. And if you want to know when we go live, not for this show, not yet. But you can follow us on twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. And also you can follow us on Twitter, which is twitter.com/themashnetwork. And we'd love to have you join our Discord, which is mash.gg/discord, and come, you know, talk some games with us. Let me know that I talk too much about the shit games that I play. You know, that's all good. But let's go ahead and get into our first topic. Microsoft has acquired ZeniMax, which is Bethesda's parent company. And this is an article, comes from an article from The Verge. It says, Microsoft has agreed to acquire ZeniMax Media, the parent company of Doom and Fallout studio Bethesda Softworks, for $7.5 billion in cash. The acquisition follows earlier Bethesda games coming to Xbox Games Pass on console and PC, and it gives Microsoft control of upcoming games like the space epic Starfield. First of all, I just want to stop for a second. You don't know if it's going to be a space epic. We don't know anything about it.
We just got an image. It's literally an image. A title image is what we have.
We have an image. Yes. Yes.
Well, it's in space, right? It's got star in the name. And if Bethesda's making it, it's going to be epic.
I don't know. It could be a racer for all I know right now. The name doesn't really
tell me. Nick, you're on timeout for like 2 minutes while I finish this. Okay. So I'll continue. It says, Microsoft says the future Bethesda games, including Starfield, will launch on Xbox Games Pass the day they come out to Xbox or PC. So I remember I've said several times that Xbox Game Pass is not worth it for me because of all the games that I already own. If Microsoft keeps doing this, it will be. And so what this really means for Microsoft, I mean, obviously it was about the studios, right? They didn't need a publisher. They are a publisher. It's about the studios. Mm-hmm. This means they have Arcane, That's Dishonored. That's the New Prey. The New Prey. That Machine Games. That's Wolfenstein. Id Software. Doom. Tango Gameworks. The Evil Within. That's the least popular of those titles that I've said. And that's still a pretty popular title. You know, it's a good... The Bethesda was a great pickup for Microsoft. Like, I just don't know. Like, Sony has to be sweating. They have to be sweating at this point. Because the here's the deal with when it comes to Sony. Their key selling point is their exclusives. The thing about the Xbox was, it was the more powerful console. Up to this point, it's the more powerful console. It's easier to get because they have a $300 version of it. You can pay for it monthly over 2 years, so it's extremely accessible. That was the selling point. And now, on top of the other first-party studios they bought, they now have these monster first-party studios. I didn't even mention Bethesda. What do they call their actual game studio? Is it Bethesda Game Studios? Or
yeah, it's just Bethesda Game Studios.
Yeah, and they make Fallout, you know, Fallout 76 now, but that's also massive. We're talking about Skyrim here, folks. Now, I personally didn't enjoy Skyrim, but the fact that you could play Skyrim on everything for the past, when it come out, 2011, you know, 9 years, that says a lot about that game.
Well, is that why Bethesda agreed to this? Because this way, instead of them having to port Skyrim to new systems, they can just put it on Games Pass, and it's everywhere now.
Yeah, they could just put it into the cloud, like Skyrim forever. So this is just a massive pickup for Microsoft. I did not see this coming at all. I didn't. I thought I'd see him pick up a couple of other studios, like here or there. I didn't think they were buying studios in bulk.
They're not done yet, they say.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that Sony's got to be sweating about this. I mean, I'm sure they're watching this with interest, but they've got their first-person titles. They've got their lineup. They've got their God of War. They got their Horizon Zero Dawn. They got their Spider-Man. They know what they're resting on. And it feels like Microsoft is sort of the one company that's really been struggling with that. And the thing is, Microsoft still, because this is all going to Games Pass, the systems are still, the games are still not tied to the Xbox. If you want to play God of War, if you want to play Horizon Zero Dawn at launch, because clearly Sony has a plan to release stuff to PC after a certain amount of time. But if you want to play that stuff at launch, you need to get a Sony console. You need to have that to play that. These games are great, but you can still do what a lot of people I know. Well, what I'm thinking of doing is, you know, probably get Games Pass, play that on my PC, have my PlayStation downstairs on my, you know, hooked up to my TV, and then I get the best of both worlds. And as much as Sony's got to be worried about this, it's like the fight is joined in a way. This is like Microsoft finally getting on the battlefield and actually like proving like, whoa, you know, they did hit Sony. Like Sony's like, whoa, you're actually a worthy opponent here. But at the end of the day, you can still get access to all these games and all these exclusives. And this is very much assuming that a lot of these games that even though they're currently promised to be coming to the PlayStation because of existing deals, that down the line, Microsoft is going to cut that off. And this is all going to be Xbox exclusive stuff. At the end of the day, you can still get around having to buy an Xbox by having a PC and a PlayStation. And it doesn't change that fundamental part of the equation that I think Sony's still sitting pretty. Microsoft needs to do something such that it's like, it's not just, oh, I want it on my PC. I want it on my PC and on the console. I want that little extra. And I don't know that they've quite cracked that nut.
Well, the thing about it, though, is like, you know, the biggest strike Microsoft had against it is that they didn't have good first party titles. I mean, they got better first party titles throughout the Xbox One's life, but that was always the biggest thing. But even if a game is available on PC, that's okay, because there are tons of people who do not have the money to get a PC. Tons of people who don't have the money to get a PC. Let's be clear here. Having a PC is still a luxury. Mm-hmm. You are part of the elite class, my friends. Like, it is still quite the luxury, because it's not even about not having the money for the PC, right? It's about space as well. You know, additional equipment. Like, there's more to buying a PC than buying a PC, buying a monitor, buying a mouse and keyboard. You know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody has that, you know? So the fact that, like, I mean, yeah, like, Microsoft, because right now, they said that they're going to, like, Ghostwire Tokyo, Deathloop will still be PS5 exclusives. And by the way, those are timed exclusives. Those were never full PS5 exclusives. They were timed exclusives. You know, going forward, a lot of these games are going to be exclusive to Xbox. Unless Microsoft strikes a deal with Sony to put those games on those consoles. And at that point, it's still fine because Microsoft still makes money from it. You know, so, and I know they said, Phil Spencer said that future Bethesda games will be on Xbox, PC, and other consoles on a case by case basis. You know, like, you know, for example, like Ori is on the Switch. Mm-hmm. Microsoft's not sweating that. You know what I'm saying? They want their games, and this is what I've been saying since 2016. No, this is what Phil Spencer has been saying since 2016. Microsoft wants their games where you play them. You play games on the Switch, they want their games on the Switch. You play games on the PlayStation, they want their games on the PlayStation. We have to get out of this train of thought that Microsoft wants you to buy an Xbox. Or they have to have you buy an Xbox. They want you to have an Xbox, but they just want you to buy their games and their services. This is the entire model of their company, by the way. You know, Office on Mac does not suck anymore. You know, it hasn't sucked for quite some time because they want you to, you know, to buy the software and use it. Office on Android doesn't suck. I don't know if they have Office on iPhone. I don't have an iPhone, you know. The new, like, the Surface Duo is an Android device. You know? So yeah, like, no, like, the game has changed. The reason I think this hurts Sony more is because, like I said, their biggest ammo was their exclusives and the fact that Microsoft didn't really have a good software library. But that gap is closing, 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 where now somebody might have to seriously think, I don't know, the PlayStation has the new Uncharted and it has the new God of War and the new Horizon Zero Dawn, but Microsoft has the new Elder Scrolls. They have the new Fallout. This is just the Bethesda stuff I'm talking about, you know, right now, too. Whatever Arcane comes out with next, you know, because they make great first-person games. Dishonored 3, please.
I would love
just write the story. Oh, yeah. You know. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Microsoft is making people just because, okay, so for me, for example, right? It is a no-brainer for me to buy. If I'm going to buy a console first, it will be a PS5. And then all the Microsoft stuff I'm going to play on PC. But if I didn't have a PC, like a lot of people don't. A lot of people do not have gaming PCs. Now, I got to seriously think about it. Like, man, which one do I want? And I think that puts Sony in a tougher position, especially because we already know their console is not as... Their console is not as powerful as the Xbox. The Xbox is going to deliver better experiences because it's a more powerful console. So now in terms of, you know, Bethesda and ZeniMax, usually when there's mergers, there's, you know, redundancies that get removed and stuff like that. And that's still, we'll see what happens if that happens there. But Phil Spencer, he says our plan is to leave ZeniMax alone. And this is what he said to CNBC. ZeniMax has an amazing track record of building great games. Fallout 76. Our goal is to make ZeniMax the best ZeniMax they can be, working individually with their studios on the great platform technology that we have, getting their creators feedback into the things that we want, that we need to go build. So my advice to you, Phil, is to get them off of that fucking engine they've been using for Fallout. And I forget what it's called. They've been using the same engine, just like an upgraded version for like the last 15 years or something like that.
It shows its age hard.
That's one of the biggest issues with Fallout 76. One of the big advantages of having these first party studios like this and having them all under one umbrella is they can share technology. Like Jack and Daxter and Ratchet and Clank, those share technologies. That's how those games, you know, came out. Or look at
Horizon.
Look at Death Stranding and Horizon Zero Dawn. Those both use the Decima engine, you know. So now, you know, we have Halo 5 and, well, not Halo 5 or Halo Infinite. They have this new Slipspace engine what if they, you know, they can help, they can offer assistance or even help, you know, some of the Bethesda developers use those engines if they need to, you know? So, and by the way, I haven't seen the Slipspace engine actually in work besides what we saw in that demo. I'm just saying, like, they built a new engine for a reason, folks. Trust me. So, but yeah, I mean, like Kura said earlier, Microsoft hasn't done buying companies. I know they did try to, there were attempts for them to buy Bungie. They were in talks with Bungie, but it always fell through because of price. And with my track record with Bungie, they probably thought too much, you know, because the only thing Bungie has right now is Destiny 2. And now, yeah, I mean, now is probably a great time to get into Destiny because of all of the content that you have. But actually, they can really start to, they're going to start to vault that stuff, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. They can't store it all. But
the good news is it'll take up less space on your hard drive.
Yeah, because it is actually a pretty hefty game right now. I had to get rid of it because I installed it again because I planned on playing it, especially when the new expansion came out. But now that it's coming out at the same time as Cyberpunk, I'm like, oh, yeah, see you next year, guys. Yeah. But yeah, I couldn't find it. I didn't have anybody to really play with, so I just uninstalled it again. I mean, it's a solid shooter. It is a solid shooter, but man, I'm not going to get into it again on this episode. Let's not. But yeah, that was a huge acquisition, huge news from Microsoft. And honestly, I want to say this is the first time in close to 10 years that Microsoft is generating a bigger buzz than Sony. You know? And, you know, I want to kind of hop into the Sony PS5 showcase because, I mean, Sony did what Sony does. They showed games that you want. They had previews, but I don't know, for some reason, like, in my opinion, this did not generate the buzz that a normal Sony conference does.
Well,
you know,
for like problems, like I watched it after it started. There was almost 1.5 hours pre-show of just a blue screen and music. I'm like, the last 46 seconds of their VOD was actually the content. I'm like, oh, okay, why is there so much nothing happening? Someone please just cut this stuff out.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't. But so they had a couple reveals. They revealed that Final Fantasy 16 Awakening will be a PS5 exclusive. It will be PS5 and PC. I don't know if that is a timed exclusive, though. I would imagine it is.
I think it's supposed to be a timed exclusive. Actually, they quickly, as soon as they announced that it said PC and PS5, their statements came back and said, actually, we made a mistake. That was actually supposed to be PS5. We don't know if it's coming to PC. I'm like, uh-huh. Like a couple of other titles that I forget which ones right now, but they also showed they're going to PC, but that wasn't supposed to be shown. So someone apparently messed up with the footage and showed that.
Gotcha. They also showed Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy, which I'm like, yeah, like, okay. Like, I guess like there's a lot of buzz around that, but I don't feel like getting into that rabbit hole right now.
It looks great.
And I'm not talking about the fan type of buzz either. but I didn't really do anything for me. They announced Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition. So that's going to be a PS5, you know, souped up version of Devil May Cry. They showed Five Nights at Freddy's security breach. At least that's what the report said, but I didn't actually see it. They showed it?
Yeah, they showed it. I mean, they showed it. It was just very strange when they came out. It was just a showing thing of, I thought it was like a new horror game. And it's like, all of a sudden you see one of the characters from Five Nights. I'm like, oh, it's this game. The one I can't play because I have an animatronic fear I didn't know until I played this.
Oh, really? You have an animatronic fear?
Oh, apparently, yeah. I just didn't know it until I played. Like, I started playing it. I'm like, oh, God, I'm having a panic attack. Great. Really?
Well, I thought it was just a creepy game. I didn't realize I thought that alone would be panic attack inducing. So,
yeah, no, this is a personal thing for me. It's why my wife has to play them because I can't do it. I'm fine with most horror games.
At least they're not pumping them out every month anymore. So they're taking them. Yeah, they're taking their time with it. So I've never been a huge fan of Five Nights at Freddy's, but I understand the appeal of it. And they did show they teased God of War Ragnarok. So
they teased
because they just want to let you know, like, hey man, we got something on the way. You know?
Did they have to? Like, I mean,
No, they didn't have to.
No, because we know it exists, even if we don't know that it exists. It's coming.
Yeah, so it's coming in 2021, and that's like I actually predicted it for 2022. That's why I predicted a 5-year like cycle, because it came out in 2018. Four years, because it'll be 3 years from release. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, they've been working on it since before, probably since before the first God of War was released. But yeah, so I'm happy it will be coming out. But that next year is going to be a monster year for Sony. Horizon Zero Dawn and God of War Ragnarok. Like, that's going to be massive. That's going to be like the year Nintendo released Mario Odyssey and Breath of the Wild, you know. And then the next year they didn't really have anything. So, you know, but, you know, this is Sony. So, you know, their first party studios are going to deliver on something. I'm curious to see what Naughty Dog is working on.
Yeah,
as of the Last of Us 3 release, it almost seemed like they weren't sure. So I wonder if they're prototyping stuff, you know.
Yeah, the only problem I was having for a lot of these, they were showing way too much gameplay and explaining what was going on in this scene. I'm like, I don't care. Just show me some short clips. I'm going to probably buy it anyways. Don't have to explain all the systems to me already. I want to discover that myself.
Yeah. I know they showed Spider-Man Miles Morales gameplay on that. So I feel like they really should have focused on the launch titles for PS, for PS5, which that's one of them. I know they also showed trailers for Resident Evil Village and Oddworld Soulstorm. So I'm actually interested in Oddworld, because it does seem like it's going to be less comic than the previous games, and just way more, I'm not going to say realistic, but way more, you know, like, yeah, these people are enslaved and they're going to turn them into food. Like, you know, like the subject matter was always dark.
Yeah. For Oddworld. Darker for a dark game.
Yeah. The Oddworld subject matter was always dark. So they did announce their release date and price. Their release date is November 12th, so 2 days after the Xbox One X. Xbox Series X. See, Microsoft? Look at that. The Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S. And the prices are $499 and $399, respectively, for the full version and for the digital-only version. Yeah. And I don't know. I thought they might try to compete a bit with Microsoft, but they got their price point. They can only go so low, man. They can only go so low.
Yeah.
I think we already know that this isn't like the previous generation where the goal was to make sure you made some type of profit from day one from your hardware. We're back to hardware being a losing game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the difference also, like the Xbox right now with their version's a bit cheaper on the lower end. Most because it's also using a less power, like less powerful parts in there. It's not as powerful as the Xbox One X. Whereas the digital PS5 is the same as the PS5 with disc, just doesn't have a disc. That's literally the difference.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think it matters, because they both sold, like, you know, they had problems selling. The sites couldn't keep up, and they sold out like hotcakes. I mean, they're good luck getting a pre-order on those.
The thing about the Xbox Series S that I think a lot of people are not really thinking about. Like, so technically speaking, the Xbox Series S is not as powerful as the digital version of the PlayStation 5. However, the Xbox Series S is for the now.
Yeah.
Most people don't have 4K TVs, mm-hmm. which means you can still play games at next gen quality on a Series S at 120 frames per second at 1080p. In my opinion, that's fine. For $300, that's fine. The difference is that when it's time to upgrade to a 4K TV, then you're gonna want the X,
mm-hmm.
which is like, well, now you gotta spend $500. Are you trading your S and see how much you get for your X? But not if you have all access. If you have all access, there's an upgrade program. You can upgrade. Like, let's say you do the Series S for $25. At that point, just do the $35 and get the Series X.
Yeah, do that.
But if you do the Series S for $25, or at any given time you switch to all access, I'm pretty sure after 2 years you can upgrade your hardware.
Mm-hmm. And also, all access comes with Game Pass, and before even that, it was coming with Game Pass and Xbox Live. So you take those price of that off of what you're spending to get the Xbox anyways.
Exactly. So the S is still pretty, it's still pretty appealing because it's the console for the now. Like if you have a 1080p TV, you don't plan on upgrading to 4K anytime soon. You get your foot in the door now. And if you do all access, like it's about accessibility. You can easily move into the X when the time comes. Microsoft is trying to remove as many barriers to entry as they can for you to get their stuff, for you to get their games, for you to get their consoles.
Yeah, they want you in their ecosystem. That's all they care about. They don't give a shit where else you do. As long as you're buying the Xbox game, play Xbox games.
So it doesn't feel like Sony's really interested in competing on those levels at any rate, right? At any point. And I do want to get into that more in a bit in a second. But one example of that is the PlayStation Plus collection, right? So when they first announced the PlayStation Plus collection, the first thing I read on a bunch of headlines is like, you know, Sony combats Games Pass or Sony's version of Game Pass. No, it isn't. Mm-mm. It wasn't. And it even said in the article, so the articles obviously had clickbait headlines. All this the PlayStation Plus collection does, it allows you to download a collection of PS4 games on your PS5. Those games are God of War, Bloodborne, Monster Hunter World, Final Fantasy 15, Fallout 4, Mortal Kombat X, Uncharted 4, Thieves, and Ratchet & Clank, Days Gone, skip that one, Until Dawn, Detroit Become Human, Battlefield 1, skip that as well, Infamous Second Son, Batman Arkham Knight, The Last Guardian, The Last of Us Remastered, Persona 5, and Resident Evil 7, Biohazard. Now, from what I read, and I could be wrong, the PlayStation Plus collection is not part of your PlayStation Plus subscription. It's a separate thing that you have to get. Mm-hmm. But this is not equivalent to Games Pass. And these are not upgraded versions of these games either, right? They are the backward compatible versions of these games on the PS5. That's it. So basically, if you buy a PS5, you can play a bunch of old games on the PS5, essentially.
Yeah,
which is funny because Sony has been saying, oh no, we want you to feel like you're having a next gen experience, you know, but here's a bunch of older games to kind of get you started.
Well, you can feel like you're holding a next gen controller and you can look at your little next gen console under the TV while you're playing your last gen game.
I'm still saying, like, what games actually are launching with the PS5 that I'm not remembering? Like, because I have a pre-order, but I'm still like, all right, besides the collection, what else am I playing on this right now when I get it?
Well, I know Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Sackboy, and Horizon Zero Dawn are all games. Oh, no, sorry, not Horizon Zero Dawn. Oof, no.
I'm excited now.
Yeah, because if that was the case, I'd be getting the PS5 this year, but I'm not. There's just no, I don't really feel the need to. Yeah, so Jim Ryan said to GamesIndustry.biz that, you know, our pitch, as you've heard, is new games, great games. We have had this conversation before. We are not going to go down the road of putting new release titles into a subscription model. These games cost many millions of dollars, well over $100 million to develop, and we just don't see that as sustainable. We want to make the games bigger and better, and hopefully at some point, at some stage, more persistent. So putting those into a subscription model on day one for us just doesn't make any sense. For others in a different situation, it might well make sense, but for us it doesn't. We want to expand and grow our existing ecosystem and putting new games into a subscription model just doesn't sit with that. And in regards to all access, I'll just read this too. He says that they will not be offering a service akin to All Access, and it's not because they don't like the idea of paying for consoles in installments, but simply because they believe that retailers already offer such a service, and he doesn't want to antagonize retail stores by effectively trying to bypass them. And that was on Metro.
Not really true, actually. Most retail stores I've worked for, sometimes they have it, but it's very limited and only during the holiday season.
Right, but then on top of that, a lot of it is, it's just their credit card.
Yeah, you gotta get like a
That's what the option is like. And if you don't want a credit card, which I mean, a lot of people don't want a credit card just to buy a game console, you know.
You gotta do a credit check to get the console, but still, it's not as harsh as trying to get a credit card.
See, my thing is like, it feels short-sighted to me. But obviously, I mean, this guy is the CEO or the head of, he's the head of Sony Interactive. Yeah, he's the president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. He has that position for a reason. He probably does understand that subscription models and things like that are important. I mean, I'm pretty sure Layton said something about how, you know, the games industry has to figure out a way to offset the costs of these new games, because the current model just isn't going to work. And Microsoft is trying to work around that, you know, and a couple places are trying to work around through subscription models. Like, look at EA, you know, that's what they're trying to do. And he probably does know that, but he's probably, you know, since that's not their strategy, he's probably trying to play up their strategy. Like, nope, we're going to stay the course. We have this great set of first party games that people love, and we want, you know, the best place to, you know, we think that PlayStation is the best place to play. But that is continuously, that's been proven not true recently, right? They're not going to have the most powerful console. They don't have the best multiplayer, you know, network. They don't have as many games that are crossplay yet, you know. They don't have a strong cloud platform, you know. So they're right now, I'm curious to see what they're going to do, because there's no way they're just going to take this sitting down, right? I'm very curious to see what Sony is going to do to combat all these things that Microsoft are doing and already have in place, because Microsoft has been preparing for this for half a decade at this point. You know, so Sony, they have too much riding on PlayStation just to be like, you know, we're just going to do this. You know, we're going to do this thing.
Maybe a little surprise with something we didn't expect.
Right. So, yeah. And more about PlayStation, it looks like the Spider-Man PS4 owners will not be able to upgrade to the PS5 version of Spider-Man for free, which, you know, that's not too surprising. I think. You know what the problem is? Microsoft announced that smart delivery program really early. And I think a lot of people just figured, oh, okay, well, when we move from one gen to the other, we'll be able to get the games for free. But more and more we're seeing that there's either, like, you know, like I think 2K is like a $10 upgrade, and we're seeing games come out at $70 as opposed to $60. And that's because these upgrades they cost money to do. They cost money to make.
Well, that used to be something that I think as a developer, you know, if you're developing a game at the end of a console life cycle, you know, like, oh yeah, we can pump out, you know, a version for the upgraded, you know, console and make some a little more money off that. And, you know, yeah, the smart delivery and concept, it makes a lot of sense, but I don't think developers want to see that money go away. And I don't think Microsoft is kicking anything back to the developers. Like, hey, we know you're not going to be able to release an upgraded version. You know, so here we'll cover it. So developers are looking to get what they can where they can. I mean, it makes sense for Microsoft to push that, because yeah, it helps sell consoles. But you know, if you're selling just the games, like, that really does you no favors.
Well, yeah, think about last generation. How many games were re-released multiple times this generation as an upgraded version that you can play from your PS3 to your PS4 or 360 to Xbox? All, like, a lot of re-release games.
Again, imagine if that applied to Skyrim.
Yeah. Well, what I think is that the smart delivery program is more of a subsidy program for Microsoft. The Microsoft probably subsidizes the development, or there's some type of deal between Microsoft and that developer or that publisher, you know, like, okay, well, we will subsidize the cost of the development for these extra features, but you gotta promote Xbox first, right? Like, I haven't seen anything about Dirt 5, I think it is, coming out. I haven't seen anything about Dirt 5 coming. Well, I'm pretty sure it's gonna come out on PlayStation, but I haven't seen anything about Dirt 5 on PS5, right? Everything I've seen about Dirt 5 is either PC or Xbox, you know. So now there is a way to get the remastered version of Spider-Man. So basically, and this is from WCCF Tech, it says that Marvel Spider-Man Remastered is an enhanced version of Marvel's Spider-Man and is included as a part of the Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition for the PlayStation 5. In addition, players who purchase Miles Morales on PlayStation 4 can upgrade at no additional cost to the PS5 version of Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, and can take advantage of the paid upgrade to download Marvel Spider-Man Remastered. There are no plans currently to offer Marvel Spider-Man Remastered as a standalone. Players with a copy of Marvel Spider-Man for PS4 can purchase Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition to experience Marvel Spider-Man Remastered on PS5. Marvel Spider-Man for PS4 will also be backward compatible on the PS5. And just to add a little more to that, owners of Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales PS4 game disc can access the free upgrade offered by inserting the disc into PS5. PS4 game disc owners who buy the PS5 digital edition disc-free console will not be able to access this offer. So, let's just break that down. If you want the remaster for free, you got to buy the Ultimate Edition of Miles Morales. If you don't buy the Ultimate Edition of Miles Morales, you cannot get the upgrade. You cannot get the remastered version for free. You can't. And there is no plan for a standalone remastered version. The only way to get it is with the Ultimate Edition. Also, if you buy the $400 PS4 or PS5, you will not be able to take advantage of the upgrade if you buy it on PS4. So there's that.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. So
wait, but if you buy the digital PlayStation and you just buy the Ultimate Miles Morales edition, even if you don't have Spider-Man on the PS4, you still get So I mean, you could still get the game even if you don't have the, basically just buy the Ultimate Miles Morales edition. That gets you, that's how you get it. That's it. It's that's
no, but they're saying if you buy it on PS4,
right,
you will not, you unless you have a disc version of the PS5, you will not be able to get the upgrade. That's what they're saying.
Wait, so if you buy the Ultimate Miles Morales edition on the PS4, you don't get the remastered Spider-Man on the PS5 when you...
You don't get the upgrade at all on PS5 if you don't have a disc drive.
Oh, okay.
You gotta have a disc. It's like if you buy digital or anything else.
You have to have the $500 PS5 for that. So...
It's not like this.
Yeah, but...
It's like definitely not the Dirt 5 has the free upgrade for either version.
I was going to say, but if you buy just the PS5 version of Miles Morales, the Ultimate Edition on PS5, you get the remastered version included with that.
That is correct. So just don't buy the PS4 version. Just wait until you get a PS5.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to buy the discless PS5.
That is correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
When did you need like a college degree just to understand all these promotions and stuff? Because...
I think people just held on to the pricing information for too long, because once Microsoft said smart delivery, I think everybody just assumed that, oh yeah, Sony's gonna do the same thing, right? Like, everybody's gonna do the same thing, the upgrades are gonna be free, and no they're not.
Sony, I don't want to say Sony said as much, but Sony was kind of coy with their comments, making it sound like, yeah, you'll get a better experience and all your games will it'll be backwards compatible for 100 games and stuff. Like, Sony, even if Sony wasn't offering the same thing, they tried to sound like they were playing ball at least. And it just leads to confusion.
Well, yeah. I mean, you do. Like, so if you have a PS4 version of Spider-Man and pop it into a PS5, it will play that game, but not with the enhancements. Basically, right. That's what they're saying.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing with Control. If you have, like, you know, the whole thing around Control, if you had a PS4 version of Control, you pop it into a PS5, it will play the PS4 version of Control.
Well, yeah, but we had to talk about that because that was confusing and people were upset about that. So are we, every time, like, a game comes out for the PS4, they're like, is there a free upgrade on the PS5? Is there going to be, like, a hullabaloo? And we're going to have to talk about that and explain it to everybody, because... This is going to be a long console generation if that's the case. Well,
only for the first start of it. It's very normal for the transition between console generations for it to be confusing.
Because 2021. Not even, because Horizon Forbidden West is also going to be available on PS4. Miles Morales is going to be available on PS4. Sackboy is going to be available on PS4.
Didn't they say, didn't Sony say, like, they still see another 3 to 4 years of life in the PS4?
Did they? They might. They always have 10-year cycles in their like for consoles. So, you know, maybe, but yeah. But I mean, I know people aren't gonna be too happy because they just expected the upgrades to be free. But those enhancements are not free. Like, developers have to work on it. People have to test it. Like, it's, that's why, like, when 2K came out and said no, there's gonna be $70. Everybody was like, whoa, what? You know, I was like, no, I think we just kind of got to really I don't think there's any way to explain it more clearly, because it's not confusing if you ask me.
No, the funny thing I had about it with that is people like, I know they were mad because there's a sports game that started. I'm like, they're one of the most best-selling games out there. Why are you that surprised about sports tile, especially 2K doing it? Come on. I'm not surprised. It makes sense. They helps the money. Like, well, they have the ultimate stuff and all those passes. I'm like, that's beside the point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So I think people just have to get used to it. But I did want to talk about this. There was an article in GamesIndustry.biz that said the PlayStation and the Xbox have both failed to sell next gen. And basically the point of the article was them talking about the fact that neither Microsoft or Sony are giving you a real reason to buy a PS5 or an Xbox Series X or S this year. And one of the things that they said in the article is like the race to 10 million, a key sales milestone that almost always establishes the leader of a console generation. There's no doubt the PS5 and the next Xboxes both have the potential to reach this milestone in the next year or so, but both may face a more uphill battle than their forebearers. They mentioned that, you know, the key PS5 titles are also available on PS4. They mentioned Spider-Man, Sackboy, Horizon Forbidden West. They said that Microsoft has no exclusive games to entice people to, you know, come to the Xbox Series X or S. And also that games are going to be higher priced, because even some PS5 games are going to be $70. You know, like that we've seen a sliding scale for PS5 games. But the thing about this article for me is that I think this affects Sony more than it would Microsoft, because Microsoft has said and has hammered in so many times that, you know, it's more about the Games Pass at this point. I think we can all agree it's more about the Games Pass. And if the Xbox manages to get the 10 million, units sold first, which is important, by the way, because this is what it's a snowball effect. It's like what happened with the PS4. You know, the PS4 starts selling, people are buying it. Then somebody asks their son or daughter, what do you want? Do you want a PS4 and Xbox? Well, their friends have PS4s, you know. I know friends of mine that bought PS4s because a bunch of us had PS4s, and that's where we played games, you know, when we played on console. So that's a snowball effect. And if Microsoft does beat Sony to that milestone, that is very damaging to Sony, because they are heavily reliant on moving PlayStations. Whereas if Sony hits that milestone first, Microsoft's still has Games Pass. They have all their games on PC. They got some coming to Switch. You know, Microsoft is still in good shape. So that, like, you know, I think they're right to a degree. Like, you know, neither of the console makers are really putting up a tremendous argument to buy a PS5 or Xbox this holiday season. But for Microsoft, well, of course, Microsoft wants you to buy Xboxes. But if you don't, we'll see you on PC. You know. Well, as long as you do you have Games Pass? Cool, we're fine then. Enjoy your evening. You know, whereas Sony, they need you to buy a PlayStation. But yeah, I mean, we'll see. I personally want Sony to hit that milestone first, because all the stuff that Microsoft has been doing is because they are in a second place position. You know, they're not at the top spot. You know, I think we need to maintain balance in this ecosystem. So Sony, do whatever you need to do, but get those consoles sold. Okay. You know, but make sure we keep the competition alive, because I've said it before, Sony couldn't do what Microsoft did. If the PS4 and the Xbox One were Switch positions and the Xbox One just demolished the PS4, I don't think we see Sony coming back from that. Mm-hmm. Microsoft was losing billions of dollars every year with the Xbox up to a certain point, you know, and I don't think Sony could like manage that loss, because the PlayStation is one of their biggest divisions. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I love the competition so much. It helps push more of this innovation. It makes great stuff like Game Pass come out just because they have to compete with each other.
Absolutely. So one last thing before we close up, a little footnote on today's episode, Amazon Luna, which I believe they wanted it to be bigger news, but I haven't really seen anything positive about it. GamesIndustry.biz reports Amazon has unveiled a new cloud gaming service today, Luna. Luna has opened signups for early access to customers in the United States and is available for an introductory price of $5.99 per month during the period on PC, Mac, Fire OS, and iOS. The latter notable, though, through the browser, not the App Store. Huh, that's interesting. And, oh, actually, with everything going on, it's not. So
makes a lot of sense.
Android availability is planned for a later date. The service provides cloud streaming for games libraries that will include titles such as Control, Resident Evil 7, Overcooked 2, Metro Exodus, and more. Per Engadget, the base subscription cost provides access to Luna Plus channel, which will include a select number of games. Other channels will be available later on for an additional unknown charge, including an Ubisoft channel. That's incorrect. I copied and pasted that directly from Games Industry. That is not correct. Okay. Mm-hmm. Including a Ubisoft channel. Actually, some English majors listening right now, like, no, you're wrong. Including a Ubisoft channel that will include games like Far Cry 6, Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and Immortals Fenyx Rising upon their respective launches. So, I have been waiting for somebody to challenge xCloud, and I don't think this is it. I don't think this is it. I think everybody's trying to get out, jump on cloud streaming, you know? And I don't know if that is a service that gamers really want. I think xCloud is really only enticing because it's a part of Games Pass. Mm. You know, it's a part of Games Pass. Like, it's a nice little add-on to have. But I'm not paying 1 cent more to access my games in the cloud. I want my games accessible locally. I didn't build a gaming rig for a few thousand dollars in order to play games in the cloud.
Well, I don't know if this is, you're necessarily the target audience then. Like you were pointing out, a lot of people don't have PCs. And so, you know, in this case, you know, you can play this on an iOS device, and with Android availability planned for a later date, this gives you something, you know, another way to play games on your phone, or maybe you have Fire TV or something. You can play it that way. But, no, I think the problem here is just that, you know, Google tripped over their own foot with Stadia, and you know, Amazon, all their game studios releases have been underwhelming. That I don't think, you know, this doesn't seem like, it's not coming from a position of strength.
Well,
there's no reason we don't have any reason to believe that this is going to be what they're promising at this point until they actually show us something that's actually good or decent. Well, and I mean, I know,
right.
I know of all the companies that you can say, like, oh, you know, if you need more, you know, you need more processing power, just spin up an Amazon server. I mean, they can definitely do that. So, you know, that, you know, they have the resources for it. But until they actually show us that they can, you know, do something that actually justifies their existence in this space, I think everybody's perfectly fine being skeptical with this. And I suppose it's a little bit harsh to be like, well, Google messed it up, so you guys are going to mess it up too. But, you know, get, you know, show us you can do something. Show us what you can do. It's, you know, I mean, it's only $5.99 a month. Obviously, I would hope anybody getting into this knows that this is, you know, they're an early adopter. They're beta testing. You know, you're paying for the luxury of getting to see something that is really, you know, brand spanking new. And you're going to get that experience whether you want it or not in that case. But, yeah, let them show us what we can do here. And because, yeah, at this point, it sounds nice, but they always sound nice in the introduction.
Mm-hmm. And it's Amazon. And I've had way too many times where I've tried products at Amazon and they just drop it for like, oh, we're done with this. We're switching over. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm cool. At least it has a nice controller. I like the color of the controller. It's purple. And it's Xbox style because I pay offset sticks are the best, what people tell me.
I mean, the thing about this, though, these cloud services, you know, it's a low barrier to entry because, you know, it's only $5 a month or $10 a month. Like, more than likely, it's going to be closer to $10, $15 a month, right? But at the same time, you don't get any of the community features that the Xbox or the PlayStation offer. You know, you don't get voice chat, you don't get party chat, you don't get scheduling, you don't get any of that stuff. I mean, like, yeah, like if you're going to play only single player games, that's what I was saying, like with the, you know, this is the year 2000, because yeah, you play all your single player games and that will be probably okay. But, you know, multiplayer games are what really push these systems forward. It's what keeps people playing games, you know? So that's kind of the thing. They don't offer any of that. So Microsoft and Sony are still better suited to handle stuff like this. That's why Sony needs to get off their ass and get their cloud platform up and running. Actually, they do have a cloud platform, and it's PlayStation Now, but it needs to be able to compete with xCloud. That's one of the reasons I don't think people who want to play games and play them well are looking at cloud services. And like with what Kura said, you know, you also have to have strong internet for this to work. And because of stuff like this, I actually think, well, Google's already doing it, but I think Microsoft and Amazon are going to push harder to strengthen the internet infrastructure in the United States, is what I think we're going to see in the next 5 years. Now, whether they work with telecoms to do that, or whether they try to push in on their own, you know, like Google did, or maybe they could make a coalition, you know, you never know. They might team up for this because it's mutually beneficial especially for Amazon, Microsoft, and Sony, actually Sony too, and Google, to have a strong internet infrastructure in the United States. And I think we're going to see that, you know, in the future.
And they got to buddy up with politics to get past a bunch of the telecom conferences. You got to get past all the lobbying that tries to stop people from putting the lines in certain states and areas.
Well, isn't 5G supposed to sort of take care of that? I mean, it's given us all COVID, so, you know, it better yield something.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, even like 5G coverage is not going to be as great as we want to be. I mean, 4G coverage isn't as great as it should be in across the United States. And that's because, like Chris said, there's a lot of politics involved in it. So, you know, but if you take like, you know, four mega corporations and put them against, you know, individual telecoms in these regions where they have to determine, you know, if the pipelines are coming in or not, you know, that's a different story. But I feel sorry for places that are the homes of these telecoms, like Philadelphia. Philadelphia will never see good internet because of Comcast. You know, they in Philadelphia and South Jersey, Comcast successfully got Verizon to stop expanding Fios because it was like it was becoming such a problem for them. So, yeah, that's kind of how it works. So, government at work, y'all. Great. All right, but let's go ahead and we're going to close up here. We're running a bit over. And thank you guys for listening. Coming up this week on Mash Those Buttons, we do have a new Warcraft Reloaded. That's actually going weekly now, Warcraft Reloaded. That if you enjoy Classic Warcraft, enjoy it weekly now. We have a new Push the Point. We have a new Double Tap, a new WoW Talk. We're going to have a new Tournament of Goblin as well. And we're going to have a new Dropping Spicy. Actually, new Torn of Goblin's going to be weekly for a few weeks. A lot of stuff happening in WoW right now. I guess something's going on.
Yeah, the expansion's coming.
Yeah, I knew that, Nick. I was being sarcastic.
Oh. Well, maybe our listeners don't.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know how you can miss a new World of Warcraft expansion. I just don't know how you miss that.
October 26th.
Yeah, you can check out those shows this week. And like I said, thank you guys for listening. If you want to keep up with us on this show, you can follow us on twitter.com/TheMashNetwork. That's, you know, the network's Twitter account. So anything happen on network, you can follow there. Nick, why don't you tell them where they can find you?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on WoW Talk and the Torn and the Goblin, as mentioned, which it's going to be a good month.
Yeah, and Kura, why don't you tell them where they can find you?
Yeah, if you want to hang out with me, you can reach me on Twitter at Kurabaras, KURABARAS. And I'm also on Instagram at Kurabara _. And you can find me on Discord at Kurabara.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at Jostradamus. You can also find me streaming on our Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. So you can follow that if you want to know when I go live or when some of our other shows go live. We'd love to have you join our Discord channel, or our Discord server, sorry, mash.gg/discord. And you can join us and talk to us about games or join some of our other communities, you know, for the other shows. Like if you like playing Apex Legends, or you're playing Final Fantasy, or you like playing Warcraft, you know, we have channels for all that in there. And I encourage you guys to contact us and reach out to us with the comments and questions. And you can do that by either, you know, reaching out on Twitter, reaching out on Discord. You can also email us at contact@mash.gg. If you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, the best way to do that is to share the show with others and rate and review on your favorite podcast platform of choice. And yeah, if you want to take your support a bit further, you can become a supporter on Patreon, which is patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. And you can help support Mash Those Buttons with tiers starting at $1 a month and gain early access to content as well as exclusive content. We're going to be rolling out content on a quarterly basis. I believe that's what we're going to be doing for the time being. And I know in Q4, which begins in October, there's going to be at least one early access, timed exclusive show for our Patreon supporters. So look out for that. And we also have a Teespring store, which is teespring.com/store/mashthosebuttons. We do have Twitch subscriptions. We are a Twitch affiliate. So if you want to support us that way, you could throw us a sub. We really do appreciate it. And we encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about Mash Those Buttons. And with that, we are done for the week. Thank you guys very much. We will catch you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.